Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for joining Mercy to and from Edo and Delta State. like Mr. Saj said, very many things happened. I just bless the name of the Lord. There was a time, in fact, I found myself, I had to go to my brother's place. That one, the last time we talked, I told him, I said, if you see me in your house, see my leg in your house again. But I drove myself and I got there. He was shocked to see me. And by the next day, we all gathered. Finally, we all found ourselves in my mom's place. Everybody gathered together. And my mom herself was amazed. How did you do this? Everybody gathered them with their children. The one in Warri came, you know, the other one after church came. And it was a peaceful reconciliation. And I told everybody, I said, let's forget the past, forget anything. You owe no man anything but love. And that's it. And we moved from there. The next day, our only girl, my elder sister, came in, and my mom was almost starting another this day. I said, you can't send my sister out of this house. She's my sister. Let her stay. And my joy is there's restoration, there's reconciliation. Everybody is at peace with one another. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. Let us pray. Father Lord, we thank you for tonight. We bless you. Thank you for your word. As we go into your word, I ask that you speak to us tonight. Speak to us tonight in the way we will understand. To you be your glory. We are receptive to you. We are open to you. Take charge, Lord. To you be your glory and praise. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me use this medium to say a very big thank you to the pastorate for this privilege. Amen. Thank you so much, Setman. Okay, tonight, briefly, we'll be looking at knowing him. Knowing him. What are we talking about here? Knowing God. And from what we understand, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So knowing him, if you know God, you have known the Son. If you know the Son, you have a deep insight into what the Spirit is about, because at a point, Jesus himself left and said, I'm sending you the one who is who will be with you, who will comfort you, who will teach you, who will lead you and be with you till the end of time. Amen. So what are we talking about here? I would ask this question. Why did Jesus come? Why did he come? Have you ever thought about it? Why did he come? Is it to found the church? Is it to give us a code of conduct? No. We'll find that from his word. Amen. Remember what we're talking about, knowing him. Let's open our Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 10. He didn't come to improve humanity. He didn't come to found the church. He didn't come to give us a code of conduct. No. He came for one reason only. John 10. We'll be looking at some scriptures that we quote normally, simply, but we'll really look deep into them critically. John 10, verse 10, the B part. He said, I came that they may have life and have it in abundance. Hallelujah. I think at this point I'll prefer the New King James. Yes. Okay. Okay. Praise the Lord. Yes. It says, Yes, remember he said, from the beginning, he said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, the B part, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. When I saw that word, more is enough. More alone is enough. Or abundantly is enough. Adding more to the abundantly. That's what we call tautology. Abby? More abundantly. But that describes how much of his life he wants us to know and have. Praise the Lord. That's how much of his life he wants us to know and have. The Greek word translated life is Zoe. Amen. Zoe. Let's also look at John chapter 3. This is another scripture that we quote playfully all the time. John 3, verse 16. I want us to open it. We are all going to read it together. John chapter 3, verse 16. Are we there? Are we there? Yeah. John chapter 3, verse 16. One to go. Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But have what? Everlasting life. Hallelujah. What we saw in John 10:10b says, and have life more abundantly. Amen. You cannot know God and not have life in his fullness, in his entirety. Your life cannot remain the same when you encounter him, when you know him. Hallelujah. There's something that happens to you when you come in contact with him, when you know him, when you receive him and you have this life in you. Something automatically changes. Something will change, definitely. Praise the Lord. Let's see Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans 6, verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is dead, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Eternal life again. The gift of God is eternal life. So, when it comes to your life, no wonder when we encounter him and we get born again or we experience the new birth, something stops, something changes. He said, the wages of sin is death. We often have come to understand that we are a people destined for a path that we're supposed to just go and die. But he came, paid the price so that he can bring us back and give us life. When we encountered him, when we got born again, when we experienced the new birth in him, he gave us life and gave us enough of it. He gave us more than enough of it, more abundantly. Hallelujah. This eternal life he came, this eternal life he came to give us is the nature of God. Hallelujah. It's the nature of God. That's what God is. God, he himself, is eternal life. Praise the Lord. So no wonder when we received him, how? The Bible says in the book of Romans that when we turn away from our sins and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, his life has come into us, and the life we now live is his life. That's what Paul said. So the life we now live is not our normal life. We are now living the life of Christ. So I saw this skit. It's a joke where a lady was dying and she needed a kidney transplant. And I think they removed the guy's kidney and gave to her. And the guy had always loved her and all that. So the guy was on a wheelchair. So she thought the guy was crippled. When she woke up, she asked, why did you do this for me? The guy said, I just feel you shouldn't just die like that and blah, blah, blah. And guess what the lady said? The lady thanked him and said, and the guy brought out a ring and was proposing. And the lady said, looking at him on the wheelchair, she said, know that when she's just recovering, when she's fully recovered, that's when she would think about the guy. The guy shouted, "Doctor, come and remove this kidney, na, and replace it back." So, thank God that our God is merciful. When he gives you that life, that is life, he doesn't take it back. Amen. He doesn't take it back. He has given you and he has imputed your life becomes, that's why we can boldly say we are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because he has cleansed you, removed death, removed sin and everything, removed curses and everything, and now give you his life. So you can walk boldly, walk freely, like not just like an adopted son, but as a real son. Hallelujah. A heir apparent. I love that word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The God kind of life. The God kind of life. That's what it means. Amen. We'll look at John chapter 5. John 5. Our God is good. John chapter 5. Okay. John 5 says, verse 26. It says, "For as the Father has life in him, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." Amen. As the Father had life in him, so he has granted the Son to have life in itself. In himself. Remember what Jesus also said. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except." So, your contact with Jesus alone, you have the life of the Father. You have the life, because that's the same life he has. No wonder he stood there to forgive sin and they were judging him. That who gave him authority to forgive? He has life in him. Hallelujah. They were the ones who lacked understanding. Who did he know? Praise the Lord. And we're talking about the God kind of life, which is Zoe. So, if you were to read this scripture, this is how it explains itself. "For as the Father has Zoe in him, so he has granted the Son to have Zoe in himself." Hallelujah. That's what John 5:26 explains. Let's look at John 1:4. John chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "In him was Zoe." That's life. In him was life. Hallelujah. In him was Zoe. You know, there are four Greek words translated life in the New Testament. Four Greek words. One is psyche, which is the natural or human life. Another one is bios, which is manner of life. Another one is anastrophe, which is confused behavior. The fourth one is zoe, which is the God kind of life. And that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about here. That's why in John 1 verse 4, it says, "In him was life," that's zoe. "In him was zoe, and the zoe was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it." Hallelujah. Darkness cannot cover this light. It cannot even withstand it, because this light is the life of men. Hallelujah. This light is the life of men. Hallelujah. No wonder the Bible talks about a candlestick. It's the light that is the life of men. Praise the Lord. No wonder the scripture also tells us that if you have Jesus, you have that light. You have that life in you. Amen. Hallelujah. The very nature of God is in us. It's in us and it's in oppression. For as the Father had Zoe in him, that's life in himself, so also we have that when we accept him into our lives. It just seems so funny, like these days, it just seems funny that the body of Christ is concerned most times about the manner of life, the other types, more than Zoe itself, because this is the one that is that concerns us. Every other one does not concern us. This, the life of God, this is what concerns us. The God kind of life, the God kind of life is what concerns us. Every other one, whether psyche, bios, they are not our business. The God kind of life is what concerns us. And that's what we are expected to have. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to the book of John 5. People with God's life in them don't die anyhow. And that's the reason why that night, after I prayed, we just entered the road. And when I just saw that vehicle, I just said, this is God's angel. And we followed. At the time, we were just getting to worry. We found ourselves in front of the vehicle. I told my wife, I said, that vehicle is behind us. We found ourselves in front of the vehicle. He has done his work. And we just went our way. I don't even know which way they went. People who have this life of God don't die anyhow. They don't die anyhow. They don't even die. They don't even leave the surface of the earth without leaving a mark, something remarkable. You've heard of some people who served God fervently, faithfully. When they walk through the face of the earth and they don't leave anyhow, like you won't, there will be nothing to remember them for. No, no, no. There will be marked, there will be traces. Someone will mention names of some that have even gone. You remember some men of God, there will be something that you will remember them for. People who have this Zoe in them don't die anyhow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. They always leave an unforgettable mark behind. They don't die anyhow. Because that is eternal life that is in them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let's see. 2 Corinthians, sorry. Let's see 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. We'll read this one together too, because we know it. So we'll read it together. Are you ready? Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. One to go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Amen. Receiving eternal life is the most miraculous incident in life. Receiving eternal life, that God kind of life, is the most significant, miraculous incident in the life of any believer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the best thing that can ever happen to any one of us, receiving eternal life. So when he says, all things have passed away, behold, you have become new. When we're talking about the new birth, some people will feel it's just getting religion or whatever. It is actually, when we talk about the new birth, we're talking about the Spirit of God coming into the life of man. I wrote something. I said, it actually, what it means is God imparting his very nature. God imparting his very nature. Substance. Amen. His very nature. Substance and being. His very nature, substance or being into the life of man. Amen. To our human spirit. That's what it means. God impacting his very nature to our human spirit. And that's what we just read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Because it said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It doesn't matter what you've done before. It doesn't matter what someone was asking. I think someone was talking to someone, and he says, you that used to do this, you that used to do that, and the person said, I've left that place. That's no longer me. I've left there. It's no longer me. This is the new me. Praise the Lord. And that's what it is. A new nature, a new creature, a new person, a new man in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the miraculous recreating of man. When Paul was talking, Paul was not talking about the body. He was talking about the spirit. You will see several times in the Bible, there are two words that are used interchangeably. You will see either, there is a talk about the spirit and the inward man. It's the same thing. It's used interchangeably. Praise the Lord. So when you talk about the inward man, you talk about the spirit, it's the same thing. Amen. So they are used, that's why they are used interchangeably. Paul was not talking about the body, because the body does not change. It's still the same you. I remember a joke that was said about when we were going to Catholic school then, and then one of our classmates, John, used to be a manservant. And he said he had a name before, a Calabar name. So they sprinkle, you know, according to their practice, they sprinkle water on you and you're given a baptismal name and all that and all that. And he said they sprinkled water on him and changed his name to John. So it was then when it's Good Friday, they don't eat meat, save eat fish. So he was caught eating meat and they asked him, what are you doing? He said he sprinkled water on the meat and it became fish. And that's why what it's eating. So you don't change. It's not your physical, your body does not change. You are John and you still remain John. Okay? You are Kuti, you remain Kuti. But something has happened on your inside. Something has happened to you on the inside. The man that used to be very arrogant and would do anything is no longer the same man. And then sometimes people see you and they're like, what happened to you? Something has happened on the inside. Hallelujah. That's why I love that song. Something happens and now I know he touched me. What did he touch? It's not your physical body. He touched your inner man. Hallelujah. So wherever you see that word used, the inner man or the inward man or the spirit, is saying the same. So when you say, the heart or the spirit is the same thing. So it's your heart. When the Lord, it's your heart that God transformed. It's the spirit of God in you. Amen. Hallelujah. So whenever you see that someone, whenever you notice the birth of a new man, somebody just encountered Christ, birth of a new man, it's actually God giving birth to a recreated spirit. Amen. God has just given birth. He just changed someone's heart. He just touched someone's spirit on the inside and transformed the person on the inside. The person may still be looking like he's looking on the outside. Doesn't matter. Something has happened on the inside. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, in the new birth, our spirits are born of God. Hallelujah. Yes, our spirit becomes born again. Amen. So our spirits are born of God. More than one of the prophets of the Old Testament prophesied that God would establish a new covenant with the house of Israel. Let's look at Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel